Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
The Vienna Boys Choir, 2 p.m., Sunday, November 13th at the Farmington Civic Center. Find out more at fmtn.org/shows.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mick Hess, your host for Roving with the Arts here on KSJE 90.9. Please join me every weekday starting at 9 a.m. for the chance to hear full-length, unabridged opera, ballet, symphonic, and chamber music. I'll share news of local concert events that you may be interested in attending, background information about some of the greatest musical compositions ever written. Tune in weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. and Wednesday from 9 to 10:30.
KSJE is supported by the Farmington Museum. What if you could jump into the world of wildcrats and swing through the trees like a monkey, or hunt like a dragonfish? Now you can. Wildcrats, Creature Power, and Ocean Adventure Museum Exhibit, opening September 24th through January 7th at the Farmington Museum. Tickets at farmingtonmuseum.org.
San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910.
Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, the 9th day of November 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, you can always tune us in at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet, just go to our website and listen, ksje.com, or ask your smart speaker to play KSJE. And guess what? It will. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching us this morning. This is, of course, a community-supported visual radio station, so we welcome our viewers who are watching this program on the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you are with us this morning, everybody. Coming up in the next few moments, my guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center will be talking about healthcare, how we can take more control of our health coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, and much, much more. That and more coming up in the next few moments here on KSJE this morning. Then later on this hour, I'll be checking in with Ron Price, of course, about our Life in the Sandbox series on Wednesdays at 8:50 a.m. Ron this morning has a message about tolerance. How timely is that? So join us for that coming up later on this hour on KSJE. Next hour, it's our classical music program. Mick Hess is here, Roving with the Arts, of course. And this morning, Mick is featuring music from composer Ralph Vaughan Williams. That's coming up today. After the news at 9:06 a.m. here on KSJE. And at 10:30, it's right on Four Corners with Tracy Hales. And Tracy is speaking with author Ray John de Aragon about his book, New Mexico Native American Lore. You'll hear that conversation today at 10:30 on KSJE. And don't forget, of course, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page if you are an Instagram person. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts and Pandora. And the list goes on and on. So check us out. Maybe discover a program that you may have missed recently here on the radio station. Outside our studios here at San Juan, College. It is currently a mostly cloudy morning, 45 degrees in Farmington right now. We are expecting a partly sunny day today, but some increasing clouds this afternoon. In fact, there's a 50% chance of rain showers developing this afternoon in Farmington, and those winds will kick up as well. Today's high, 58 in Farmington today. Overnight tonight, more chances for rain, maybe some snow mixed with an overnight low of 26. And then tomorrow, partly sunny skies, but cooler. The high on Thursday, just 43 degrees. Clear and 20 overnight. Sunshine Friday, but the high of 42. 18 degrees for a low Friday night. And for the weekend, highs near 50 with partly sunny skies. Well, let me introduce my guest, who is here with me this morning, as I mentioned, from San Juan Regional Medical Center. Monica Nagahiro is here. She is the hospital's newest clinical quality coordinator. And good morning, and welcome back to KSJE.
Good morning, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here. This is a relatively new position for you, correct?
This is a new position, and it's an exciting position for me to represent the hospital for stroke, sepsis, and chest pain, and all kinds of things that have been ignored for the last couple of years.
Interesting. Well, we're going to talk about all those things that you mentioned, and so, and that is kind of the idea behind this position that you now have, right, is to help inform the community a little bit about some of these things that we talked about and kind of coordinate, I guess, how they can be treated and get care for these things, right?
Absolutely. I think coming out of this pandemic, San Juan Regional has really reached out to the community to take ownership of their own health care, and we need to not be afraid, and we need to be seen.
Right. And during the pandemic, I think we were talking before we came on the air this morning, a lot of folks maybe put off being seen by their primary care physicians, or didn't get a primary care physician, or just wanted to get through the pandemic, and but maybe some other things that were happening didn't get diagnosed as quickly as they maybe should have been.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we stayed at home for 2 years, we've ignored a lot of our symptoms, and we just haven't taken care of ourselves. And now we're putting ourselves back into the fast lane of life with our kids and our jobs and the world waking back up again. And we tend to ignore our health, and it's starting to show a little bit. And the community awareness is so important right now.
Right. So let's talk about some of the things that you are helping with to help people with. You mentioned sepsis, and maybe I'll start with that one and talk
sure.
to me a little bit about what that is and how we can figure out if
better make
it's a problem, right?
So sepsis is when somebody gets sick and the bacteria or the virus takes over their body, and it can happen very, very quickly. The acronym that we like to use is called TIME, and TIME means temperature, infection, mental decline, and extremely ill. So if you start to feel like you have a temperature and you know that there's an infection setting in, whether it's a pneumonia, it could be a urinary tract infection, you need to be seen. And I think a lot of people are delaying their care because primary caregivers at one point were not seeing patients in the office. Maybe an assessment wasn't completed properly because it was done by telehealth. But you need to take ownership of that and be seen. The faster you're seen, the faster we can get you on antibiotics. You're going to detour yourself from a really long hospital stay.
Right. And as much as I know, which is not much about sepsis, but I think, you know, once that infection kind of takes hold, it's a lot more of a struggle maybe to reverse it, to cure it, to get rid of it, to treat it.
Correct.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's 100% correct. I think when patients come in, there's an algorithm that our emergency room is following as far as making sure you have fluids to dilute out what is in your system, to give you the appropriate antibiotics, to draw the blood cultures to make sure we're giving you the right antibiotics. And really monitoring your temperature and optimizing as much as we can to make sure that you're not going to cross over that area where you're really going to get sick. And sepsis is, somebody can feel sick one day and then be hospitalized within 24 hours, really sick because they ignored those symptoms.
Right. It really takes over really, really quickly and can really cause more serious problems. And I imagine, too, that's also part of the issue, right? More complications if these things aren't treated within a relatively short amount of time?
Correct. And I think, too, patients that have not been seen for the last 2 years, we're seeing undiagnosed diabetes that is complicating a lot of our problems. And sepsis has definitely been one of our top priorities in the hospital because coming out of COVID, we're seeing a lot of pneumonias. We're embarking on the flu season. RSV is now kind of coming out in raising its ugly head. So we need people to get out there, be seen. And, you know, the doctors are doing your chest x-ray. They're ruling it out. And we can start you on a regimen of antibiotics that you can go home, deal with your symptoms at home, and beat it to the punch before you have to be hospitalized.
Right. And I know for folks maybe who did have suffered from COVID-19 during the pandemic or even now, I mean, maybe their lungs are affected a little bit. Maybe they still have some lingering effects. And then if you talk about pneumonia or RSV, and those are other pulmonary type ailments, correct? And
correct.
So if your lung capacity has already been impaired, that's probably not good to get something
else
on top of that, right?
Exactly.
Even if you've recovered from COVID fairly well.
Exactly. We just need to reach out and make sure that the fear stigma of coming into a hospital or being seen by your doctor, we need to be seen.
Right. And you mentioned, and I'll move off of this in just a moment, but I had a couple more questions for you about the sepsis and the fever, and that, in my knowledge, again, you know, when your body temperature is elevated and it's higher than normal, it affects a lot of, or could affect a lot of other things, right? Because things don't quite operate at a higher temperature than they're really designed for.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. In our bodies, they have, we spike that fever, right, to fight the bacteria or fight the infection that we're having, and our body is raising the temperature to fight off all of that. But it does. It does affect some of our organs internally that we can kind of, if you come into the hospital soon enough and we can give you fluids and regulate that temperature and really monitor what your electrolytes are doing, we can optimize your healing.
Right.
And that time is of the essence when it comes to that.
That's why I have that acronym, I think, too, right?
Absolutely.
And I know that, you know, I'm always amazed at the complexity of the human body and just how well it works and just how it's designed to work and the chemical balance and things like that. And when things are too hot, too cold, what have you, it does kind of throw off maybe some of those other things, and so they just don't work quite as designed.
Correct.
And so there you go. Sepsis was one of the things you mentioned. The other thing you mentioned was chest pain, and I know that's another big warning sign for folks. It could indicate heart trouble, heart attack, things along that line, or something else, right?
And I think chest pain is, you know, chest pain in the heart has always had my passion. We have one of the best cath labs around in the state. I can't say enough about our cath lab and our cardiologists here. They have established a very strong program. It's called Door to Balloon. So if somebody starts exhibiting signs of a heart attack, they're rubbing their chest, they say they have indigestion, oh, it was the burrito I ate the other day, they need to be seen. We're ignoring a lot of things. And if an artery in your heart is occluded and it's not getting blood to your heart, it starts to die, and you don't want that.
Right. I've been told by your cardiologist time and time again that heart equals muscle.
Right. Time is muscle.
Right.
Absolutely.
And time is muscle. That's what I was told. But but that it's really important then if blood is not getting to that muscle, that is getting injured. Right. And
correct.
So I guess the ability to recover from a heart attack is maybe partially determined by just how quickly you have treatment and get blood back to that muscle.
If you can get blood back to that muscle, your future is going to be much better. We've had some patients that come in and they've been rubbing their chest for maybe 10, 15 minutes. Their onset was very quickly. They called 911. Our ambulances are trained. All of the paramedics are trained to call into the emergency room. They call what they, a STEMI alert is what they call. And our doctors in the cath lab are prepared. They start setting everything up just in case this is a real heart attack. And they can take you straight into the cath lab, open up that artery with a balloon. We've done it so fast as 12 minutes. And if we can open it up, reestablish that blood flow, the future is so much brighter because that tissue is getting perfused and you're going to have a heartbeat. A lot of times people wait too long and that part of the heart will die. And it's a long road. You might be alive, but it's not going to be optimal.
Right, exactly. And that can be really, as you said, a long recovery, I guess, longer than it needs to be in many cases. And so I know, too, that the hospital certainly recommends calling 911 and getting transported by the ambulance, because even in the ambulance, the paramedics can start some types of treatment, correct?
As absolutely.
And communicating with the hospital, right, to say, here's what the patient's going to be presenting with when we come through the doors in about 3 minutes.
Correct.
Or less.
In our, they can establish the IVs that we need. They can give you the aspirin that breaks up a lot of the platelets that are starting to aggregate in your arteries. And I will have to say that our paramedic program, our EMS, has been so instrumental in our community outreach for chest pain, stroke, and sepsis. We've been reaching out to Piedra Vista High School was our first one. We taught CPR, signs and symptoms of chest pain and stroke. How do you call 911? Are you brave enough to step in and tell your teacher something doesn't look right? If something doesn't look right and something doesn't feel right, they need to be checked out. I think people are tending to ignore their symptoms so much these days, just getting back into life.
Right. And this is part of your position now, right? Getting out and talking to these groups and even talking to these high school students or others about these types of things, right?
I think San Juan Regional recognizes that coming out of the pandemic, you know, we saw so many signs of wash your hands and social distancing that we know we don't see those signs anymore of, hey, this is what a heart attack looks like, or if your mom's face is drooping, you should call 911. We've gotten out of that practice because we went into COVID and the pandemic with worrying about everything else, that we need to start reestablishing the education for our kids, right? So our junior high kids that used to get all of this education went 2 years without knowing any of this from their health classes. So bringing this back into the school system, bringing this back into businesses
right.
is very important. And calling the ambulance early has just been, it will help this community tenfold, I believe.
Right. And still, I mean, heart disease is still a big, big killer in this country. I mean, that's the number one, I think, isn't it still?
Heart disease is still number one. And in our community, coming out of COVID and 2 years of sitting on our butts and eating what we're not supposed to be and lack of exercise and not seeing your doctor for 2 years, we're missing many pieces of the puzzle that we might have had before.
Right. Very true. Very true. Monica Nagahiro is my guest this morning here on KSJE. She is the new clinical quality coordinator at San Juan Regional Medical Center. We are talking a bit about the job that she is doing and getting the word out. The other major issue that you were talking about with groups and others is strokes. And you talked a little bit about face drooping and things along that line. That is one of the signs that someone may be suffering a stroke. This is another one of those ailments and things that time is really important to get treatment. It can determine how a person recovers from a stroke, correct?
Correct. Stroke is the fifth leading cause of death in our country right now. And stroke is a very interesting thing. We're working with our brain. Sometimes you can get an occlusion that goes to your brain. The most incredible thing is we have a medication that we can give you if you're within a three-hour window of your symptom onset. So we always ask, when was the last time you saw this person well? And sometimes it's the night before, sometimes it's, you know, it was just 15 minutes ago, and then all of a sudden they said they had some numbness in their hand, their face started to droop, their mental decline was there, they couldn't form words, and they call 911, and our ambulance, again, is trained in stroke alert, mm-hmm. and they can call ahead to the emergency room. We clear the CAT scan to make sure that the patient can go directly from the ambulance into the CAT scan to make sure that the stroke is evolving. And then we can give a medication that stops that. And it's an amazing thing, but so many people get the numbness and the tingling or the mental decline and they ignore it. They think that if I take a shower, it'll go away. If I eat something, it'll go away. My blood sugar must just be low. And they tend to ignore the warning signs, whereas if they call 911, we can get you into the CAT scan, see what's going on immediately. Mix up a medication and give it to you, and within 24 hours your symptoms have resolved. You don't want to lose brain cells.
No, right. If you can help it, you really don't want to do that.
And the last statistic I saw was for every minute that you delay your care in a stroke with an occlusion of blood flow going to your brain is 36 hours of your life.
Wow.
So every minute that you're going, that's 36 hours of your life that you're decreasing. And then the quality of your life. So if we can clear that occlusion right away, you're going to have remobilization of your arms and your extremities and your face and your thinking and your thought process versus waiting too long.
Right. True. Very true. And as amazing as the brain is, and it's a really amazing, and we're still learning things about it, I know, even today, if it's damaged, I mean, maybe there are ways that it can kind of find new pathways and work around that damaged section or what have you. But still, I think for a lot of stroke patients, it can be a long road back from their initial stroke, their initial problems,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And I think the signs and symptoms are very vague sometimes on their onset. And because of the occlusion, the symptoms can come and go. Because if it's not completely blocked off and you're getting a small amount of blood to your brain, you're going to come back and you're going to be okay, and then it's not. But I think if you know or you see somebody that is not okay, they're not okay.
Right, right. Trust, I guess. It sounds like you're saying trust kind of that feeling you get, right?
Absolutely. You are your biggest advocate in healthcare. And now more than ever, we have got to be our own advocates. The healthcare system is taxed, and everybody, I think, in this town has felt it.
Town, country.
Country.
I think.
Nationwide,
yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you need to be your best advocate, or your friend's best advocate, or your parents' best advocate of this is not how they are. I did experience one patient that she did not have a facial droop. She didn't have any numbness. She had a mental decline. She already had Alzheimer's, but they said she was the nicest lady ever. And then she woke up and she was not. That's a change.
Mm-hmm.
And she did have a stroke throughout the night. And so those signs and symptoms are very, very important to see. And then too, know that there's not an age limit. I mean, this medication can be given to anybody to help clear that occlusion, and we'll move forward.
Right. And I think we think about maybe people who suffer strokes are more mostly elderly, older adults, but I've also thought that we are seeing maybe strokes in more younger patients.
Correct.
As well. Is that true?
You'll see that in pregnant women. You'll see that with patients with uncontrolled hypertension. Uncontrolled hypertension is really big right now because we haven't been seen. We've been eating more processed foods. And the stress in our lives has just been tenfold.
Right.
Just trying to get back into things.
So. And so it's not necessarily that just an older person could have these signs of a stroke or some of these symptoms that we're discussing. It could be a younger person. And so maybe that would be a little bit of a hard thing for someone watching to say, it looks like you're having a stroke, but you look like you're too young to have a stroke, but apparently you're having a stroke.
Right. Same thing with chest pain and heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Different medications, different things that are coming into our town. Drug abuse is there. Alcohol abuse is there. Things that we might not think of, and exactly right. If your friend or your family member doesn't look right, it's not right.
Right.
And you have got to trust yourself.
And the same with heart attacks, as you mentioned as well. And I think, again, we think mostly men suffer heart attacks, but I know there's a number of women that certainly can suffer heart attacks as well. It's not,
absolutely.
It just doesn't only attack or single out men.
Correct. And women generally are a little bit harder to get into the hospital because it's the wives that push the men into the hospital. But women generally will say that they have pain between their shoulder blades, and they think that it's just stress. I need to go get a massage. Sometimes it'll radiate up into their neck and they'll have a headache. The awareness that comes out to the public is if it doesn't feel right, there's something wrong.
Right.
And technology is wonderful right now. And it's better to be safe than sorry. I'd like to optimize my 50s as much as I possibly can.
Right. Sure. And again, time is important. I mean, again, the passage of time really can make things a lot worse and maybe not better.
Right.
If you don't take action right away. And so as part of this job, Monica Nagahiro, you are getting out, talking to me, you're talking to students, you're talking to other groups about just some of these things that we need to be kind of thinking about and getting back into kind of the swing of things, if you will, after, again, being at home and maybe not being on top of our health as much as we should have been?
I think we're going to start doing a lot more outreach programs. We're going to get back into where we were before the pandemic, reaching out across. We used to do, AirCare will be going out, giving some education to the families out on the reservation. And the school system will be reached. I think the hospital is trying to organize more walks and just the awareness. And let's come together as a community and support each other because these things are coming back.
Right, right. Very true. And it seems to me like we're trying to, in this country, trying to get more access to healthcare, more opportunities for folks maybe who can't afford or have a hard time affording healthcare. And now it's being made more available to families of all socioeconomic levels.
Absolutely. And actually, the hospital has brought in a lot of telehealth because, you know, trying to get a physician to come to Farmington has been a challenge for many, many years. And we have great established physicians here who do wonderful things, and they're getting tired. So San Juan Regional has a partnership right now, which is interesting, with UNM. They have a telehealth cart where we have access to neurology. So if you come in and we're not quite sure if you're having a stroke, something's going on, we don't have neurology available. We have telehealth and it taps right into UNM 24/7. We have coverage through telehealth and the RER physicians can collaborate with those doctors and decide and make a best course of plan. And if you were to get admitted, that telehealth physician program is still available. So when you're on the floor, you still have access to this telehealth, the physicians do. And in that, we've been able to save people tons of money of having to fly to UNM, and the beds that are at UNM sometimes are not available.
Right.
So you end up waiting for a bed at UNM. So you're getting the best optimal care that you can at San Juan Regional at home with a less expense. Your family is less taxed, less stress because you're home.
Right.
And we're able to reach those kind of things. So it's amazing what UNM has reached out. And it was a grant project, and that launched a couple of weeks ago. And we have had nothing but wonderful things to say. UNM comes down and does education with our staff, with our physicians, in our information technology department, because that has been instrumental in making sure that at a touch of a button, we have a doctor.
Right. A specialist, I would say, right? And that's the important thing, is that, you know, this neurologist can be interacting with the staff at Farmington.
Correct.
And the patient perhaps, and evaluating and diagnosing maybe what could be going on and talking about the vitals and whatever else mm-hmm. is presented with, and then helping to diagnose without, as you mentioned, that 200-mile helicopter ride or ambulance right. ride or whatever the case may be for that patient.
Right. And rural care is just getting, it's hard. So to reach out to these universities and have this at our fingertips has just been amazing.
Right.
An amazing journey.
So. Very, very interesting and very important, again, for folks. And to think that, you know, when we live in a rural spot, it's a small corner of New Mexico, but yet we have access to some of these experts in the field in case we do get sick. And I know a lot of folks, you know, think about health care as they're maybe thinking about where to retire or where to move their families or this and that. And I think it's important to remind people that through these networks and agreements, people are able to access some of this higher level of care without having to travel to some of these bigger cities.
Absolutely. And I think San Juan Regional has done a great job with their forethought of embracing this prior to even the pandemic, bringing this in, because they knew it's hard to bring physicians into this community, but we can take care of our own as a community hospital.
Right.
It's been wonderful to keep our patients here.
True. And I know you mentioned the cath lab earlier, and I know the hospital has invested a lot of time and resources to attract cardiologists and have staff here and have the equipment here to deal with heart trouble and things along that line. And that's another one of those things where, you know, it wasn't available in the community and now it is, and it's pretty well known, I think, even throughout the region, throughout the state.
Well, and time is muscle.
Right.
Right. So if we can reperfuse or get blood flow back to the heart within 14 minutes versus putting you on a helicopter for 30 minutes, and then alerting the establishment beforehand, you're going to have almost an hour of no perfusion to your heart versus now that we have that technology and the specialists here and the team. The team of cardiology is just amazing. We have a specialized floor that can take care of you. We have different machines. We have the Impella that's here. And we have so many things here for cardiology to keep our community safe. And to make sure that we can keep you home. And people need to just be aware that the earlier you come in, the faster you come in, the better your outcomes. Time is of the essence, and when you feel like you're having an emergency, it needs to be treated like it's an emergency.
Right, very true. And that's part of your job, is to get that word out, right? To remind all of us to pay attention to what's going on, what maybe doesn't feel quite right or look quite right with our friends or family or what have you, and get seen, get in and have someone evaluate what exactly is going on.
And I think just giving the community validation that it's okay. We went through social distancing for so long that we tend not to look at our neighbors or look at the people in the grocery store. But if somebody's exhibiting those signs, it's very important to approach that person and be brave enough to say, hey, do you need help?
Right.
We will call 911 and let's get you.
Or what's wrong? Something
yes.
doesn't seem right. Is everything
yes.
okay? Those types of conversations.
Including our students. I mean, our students are watching our teachers and our leadership and our administration in the school, and we're giving them the go-ahead. If your teacher is saying things,
right.
be the one to step up and say, are you okay?
Sure. Very good. An important job that you have, Monica Nagahiro.
A very exciting job. Yes. This is probably one of the top 10 things I've done in my life, and it's exciting to reach out to the community. I've been a long-term a lifer here, right? I was a country club Eagle all the way through Heights Knights and Farmington High School, and worked at the hospital for 23 years as a nurse, and I've cared for my teachers, my mentors, and now to spread the word and make this change has been just an honor.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us this morning. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Monica Nagahiro, my guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center, with me here on KSJE.
KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week. Week 12, eliminate distractions. Studying without distractions is crucial. If you're studying alone, try to find a quiet space or put headphones on to block out noise from your surroundings. If you're in an area trying to study and it's just not working out, relocate. It might be frustrating to have to pick up and move, but it'll be worth it once you're in a good environment. Consider putting your phone on silent or vibrate. You can always respond to your messages after your study session. The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. KSJE is proud to support the Farmington Civic Center, presenting the Vienna Boys Choir, 2 p.m. Sunday, November 13th. These child musicians have been performing for audiences around the world for six centuries with their purity of tone, distinctive charm, and diverse repertoire. The Vienna Boys Choir, 2 p.m. Sunday, November 13th at the Farmington Civic Center. Find out more at fmtn.org/shows. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.